The Mystery of the Lost Lenore, Part 61. I can play a fairly convincing moron. In fact, sometimes when I am not even playing one, people become convinced. Such is the level of my skill. Now, though, face to face with the grim countenance of the Inquisitor and the equally unfriendly visages of his pals, and with the threat of actual physical violence looming on the horizon, my thespian talents weren't just serving to release me from some unpleasant chore. They were needed to actually save my metaphorical bacon. I hoped that the Inquisitor would believe that although at one time I may have known where it was, because I was a fairly dim bulb, it had slipped from my mind, and, as I no longer possessed this information, my usefulness to him was at an end. I also hoped that once he reached this conclusion, he and his unpleasant companions would simply ride off into the desert to continue their search for it, and they would leave us to continue on our merry way unhindered. It was, as I can see now, really too much to hope. Certainly the Inquisitor did believe me to be a moron, and he did seem to believe that I would be of no further use to him as a guide in his quest for it. And he seemed disinclined to visit any further violence upon my person, not so much, I suspect, from a sudden generous impulse, but from a desire not to waste any more energy on us. And he did decide to ride off and leave us to carry on. Unfortunately, though, he and his companions decided that when they rode off and left us, they would take with them all our worldly possessions, including all our camels, and all our water, and they would leave us stranded in the middle, or near enough to the middle, of the great desert without any means of survival. So there we stood, Hobie, Alvy, Roger and me, and of course Mr. Freddy Bananas III, with only the clothes on our backs, miles from anywhere or anyone. It was certainly not a high point of the expedition. But there was nothing for it but to start walking. And so that is what we did, in roughly the same direction we had been going when we were waylaid by the evil nomads. I don't know if you've done much walking in the desert, but I will tell you this for free. It is not that much fun. In the earlier part of our desert crossing, it had been the camels who had been doing all the work. But they are made for such things. Trudging across dunes is nothing to them. They may, in fact, enjoy it. But for bipedal primates, such as we all were, it is quite another matter. Although Freddy B. made no noise, none of us humans were silent about our discomfort. We all grumbled and whined as we slogged along. We took turns blaming one another for our misfortunes. Hobie and Alvy were cross with me for my so-called mishandling of the situation with the Inquisitor. They believed that my lack of diplomacy had landed us on our feet. I reminded them that their previous stratagems had landed them on their backs. That shut them up for a bit. I then launched into a bit of a tirade about the entire expedition that was aimed mainly at Roger. I was in the middle of a full-on rant about him and Alvy and their stupid club when the others all started yelling at me to shut up. At first I ignored them and merely increased the volume of my rant. But then I realized that there was a strange noise coming from somewhere, and they were trying to shut me up so they could hear it better. I obliged. It was some kind of odd rumbling noise, and it seemed to be getting louder. It was evident that something mechanical was coming towards us. We all wondered what it could be.